It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh, there we go. Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is May the 9th, 2024. And it's 1900 UTC here in Austin, Texas, and on radio, wherever you are in the world. It's presently 32 degrees outside with a high of 33. The low, still uncomfortable, 24. Lots of pollution in the air, making it a dangerous time if you've got trouble breathing. But, you know, that's fine. As long as big business gets to keep on pumping out those hydrocarbons, that's the important part. If you want to chat and hang out during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. That's what I'm doing right now. If you want, you can do tty.sdf.org. There's a few different subdomains you can use to jump onto a different host. But once you're there, all you need to do is type COM to launch Commode Chat. That's the chat program most of us use to talk during the show. And once you're there, just type G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, A-N-O-N-R-A-D-I-O. Press enter, and boom. You'll be hanging out in the Anon Radio room, hanging out with the cool people like Quentin and Ingrix and Stug, as well as Ratsu and Thrig. And I'm sure X1 and Claudio M and the rest of the crew will show up. But I'm here on time, punctual today, because I'm off today. And after Dubious Goals, I'm going to go get a drink. So... I forgot. I got to wash clothes today. I might wash clothes instead of getting a drink right away. Maybe, maybe not. Or maybe I'll do that tonight. Either way, I've already went to the bank and got quarters. So that is what matters, I think, the most. Thank you, Quentin. And shout out, Claudio M. Arrived as expected. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It'll take me just 1 second. I'm getting everything, lined up so that it flows properly. Since yesterday we didn't do that, and it was just a little bit of a headache. Not a big headache, just a little bit. We're almost there. Okay. This is a tech story. This is a tech story. Okay, and now we don't need that. And this goes at the bottom because, all right, cool. Yep, all right, that about sums it up. Sorry, I always want to make sure that the stories kind of flow together a little bit. And sometimes that can be a bit of a challenge. Ooh, I forgot. I need to complete my Amazon checkout. I don't recommend using Amazon, but, you know, sometimes it's the best option available. I've got a new car, new to me car. From 2022, I got a new to me, I'm going to call it new, but it's new to me, 2022 Honda CR-V. That's a hybrid mobile. Never had one of those before. Never had a vehicle with a backup camera either. But anyway, it does not come with a dash cam, and that is my number one must-have thing. So I'm ordering that, or I wanted to be sure and order that. May 12th. What day is today? Today is May the 9th. So the 12th is what, Sunday? May 12th, Sunday. Yeah, that's not necessarily overnight, but you know what? Good enough. Tomorrow, May 10th. That's tomorrow. Oh, okie doke. Can I change this? No, I can't change any of these days except for this one. So, sure. Let's just say May the 10th. May 12th. All right. Publius does not want a car with brakes that are triggered automatically by the computer. And Claudium also needs a dash cam. Indeed, yes, the automatic braking is something I'm concerned about. Also, the automatic lane detection, there's a lot. I've been reading the owner's manual and, ugh. But anyway, hey, you know what? I'm going to try my best. But, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. It was the best that I could get. I wanted to get the most fuel efficient car I could ever get. And that was a Prius. But the Prius, when I tried it out, it's just, I'm a big man. I've been, you know, just as the way the world works. And so it's not really a, did not really work out. All right, so let's get into it. There's plenty of news to talk about. These items will be delivered on May the 10th or May the 12th, depending on, you know, who you ask or where it's going. So let's go here, card, perfect. I just want to make sure I don't click. If I forget, then the next day delivery doesn't happen. So sorry about that. That's 1905 UTC. Just like that, 4 minutes gone. Alrighty. Well, let's get going. First, plane news. Talking about brakes. A plane skidded off a runway in Senegal and injured 10 people. A Boeing 737 plane carrying 85 people skidded off a runway at the airport in Dakar, and 10 people were injured, according to the transport minister, and footage from a passenger showed the aircraft on fire. "Our plane just caught fire," wrote a Malian musician, Chaik Siraman Sissoko, in a post on Facebook that showed passengers jumping down the emergency slide at night as flames engulfed one side of the aircraft. In the background, people can be heard screaming. Transport Minister El Malik Ndiaye said the Air Senegal flight operated by Transair was headed to Bamako in neighboring Mali late Wednesday with 79 passengers, 2 pilots, and 4 cabin crew. Of course, this, what a shocker, Boeing's planes skids off the runway, catches fire. Oh, what, you know, what a surprise. Well, don't worry. Where did it go? I've got it right here. Okay, that was the Boeing story. Here it is. The Boeing whistleblower. We talked about him yesterday. Well, plane bodies being made by Boeing's largest supplier apparently are leaving the factory with serious defects. Santiago Paredes, who worked with Spirit Aerosystems in Kansas, told the BBC he often found up to 200 defects on parts being ready to ship to Boeing. He was nicknamed Showstopper for slowing down production when he tried to tackle his concerns. Spirit says it strongly disagrees with these allegations. So yeah, Boeing, it's kind of like a South Park episode for sure. Claudio Young pointed out there was a shared pick, Boeing Employee of the Month, and it was the Hitman character. Man, Com is having a good time. So it's always a fun time. Jump into Com, see what's going on there. Now, if we don't talk about it a lot because it was going on for a long time, but Kenya's doctors have been on strike for 2 months, or nearly 2 months, and they've agreed to resume work, calling off a nationwide strike. Davji Atella, the union's secretary general, on May 8th confirmed that doctors have decided to place their trust in the government to address the issues leading to the strike. The issues primarily revolve around inadequate pay and working conditions. This development comes after a labor court in Kenya had on Tuesday, May 7th, given doctors and the government 48 hours to sign a return-to-work agreement, failure to which would the matter would be determined by the court. Kenya's health minister, Susan Nakumicha, said the doctors had proved to be better negotiators than the government side, adding that they had, quote, put up quite a fight. The end of the strike comes as a relief to millions of Kenyans seeking health services from public hospitals that have been crippled by the strike. So, yeah. Publius and Quentin, the whole crew, you know, there is a pretty amazing, I think it's a Boeing. There's a quite really cool, aircraft museum in Seattle or south of Seattle. If you take a bus or a train, I think I took a bus and it was like an hour from, the middle of Seattle all the way down there, but it was worth it. Lots of cool, spacecraft, lots of cool history. Alrighty, what else is going on? President Joe Biden in the political front is saying set to unveil a new asylum change. Because, you know, asylum, it's only for the rich. Or, let's see, we'll find out what it means, what it actually says. Now, here's the summary from the All Sides team. Whenever we get to political stuff, I try and go to All Sides or somewhere like that so I can try and get, like, a less echoey chamber version of the story. Hey, welcome, X1. Thanks for tuning in. So, first up, the detail. The rule, which could be published as soon as today, would allow border control officials, that means easily manipulated human beings, control officials to bar migrants from asylum within days or even hours of them illegally crossing the border. Currently, the process can take years. Now, the context. The new rule is one of several actions ahead of the election that are being considered by Biden administration in order to clamp down on illegal border crossings. The plan was discussed last week at a meeting that included Biden officials, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. How the media has covered it. Axios, who has a left-leaning bias, noted that the border issue remains a top concern for voters. Meanwhile, Newsmax, known as being a very right-wing, almost scary group, noted that the rule change, coming just months before the presidential election, leaves millions of people living in uncertainty about their ability to remain in the United States. The International Business Times, which is considered more center, noted that concern of some immigration advocates about changes to the existing process, since the many migrants are vulnerable after a life-threatening journey to cross the U.S. border. So it's a bit up in the air whether it's good or bad, but there may be more stuff left up to the border control agent. And X1 points out, if money was the only problem, it'd be easy to fix it. Indeed. That's one of the things. One of my friends, he's here in the United States, and his wife and kid, apparently, when they come over, it's going to be at the discretion of the border agent who they get to at the customs line in the airport, whether or not they're allowed in, which I just think is amazing that you can pay all this money for all the visas and applications and everything, and then you could still get turned away because a border guard thinks you might be a risk, or maybe you just are suspicious. But anyway, that's what's going on there from the Biden administration. More kind of political news, just to go along with the madness of everything. Good call, Claudio. Yes, the madness. Dana Nessel, Michigan's attorney general, has announced felony charges Tuesday against Stephanie Lambert, an election-denying attorney, and Stephanie Scott, a former small-town election clerk, over alleged 2020 voter data breaches. Nessel's office alleges Lambert and Scott allowed an, quote, unauthorized computer examiner to access private voter data from the 2020 general U.S. election, and that Scott illegally withheld voting equipment amid an order from the Michigan Secretary of State to submit it for regular maintenance. According to a statement from Nessel's office, Lambert transmitted voter data at Scott's discretion. When elected officials, and this is a quote, when elected officials and their proxies use their positions to promote baseless conspiracies, show blatant disregard for voter privacy, and break the law in the process, it undermines the very essence of the democratic process, Nessel said in a statement. Nessel is the attorney general. Since I've been talking so much, I want to be sure we cover that. Those who engage in such reckless conduct must be held accountable for their actions. Lambert did not immediately respond to a request for comment. They also face separate felony charges in Oakland County, Michigan, for their role in allegedly tampering with election equipment. In March, Lambert was arrested for failing to comply with court orders in that case, including refusal to submit fingerprints. So, not really a huge surprise, but nonetheless, the people who scream the loudest about voter fraud are the people committing the fraud. In Nigeria, we've got a vaccination rates going up. Not for COVID-19, though. That's in the past. There is a meningitis epidemic in Niger, and it's caused the death of more than 143 people. The vast vaccination campaign was launched in Niamey, the country's capital, by the World Health Organization, who hopes to reverse the contagion curve. It has to be said that hundreds of Nigerians are turning up at each community vaccination center to receive their dose. As such, many expect the campaign to be extended to the whole country in the coming days. The threshold was reached in three health districts, according to the Ministry of Public Health and Social Affairs. So that's important to note there. Let's see what we got here. Publius is always amazed when people use open borders as a scary word. That's the dude ready to irradiate the world and turn everybody into little green fluorescent men. that would 100% if you get turned away on the whim of a border guard. 100% suck. Oh, yeah. Good memory leads to everything. We'll see. There's so much going on in the world. I just want to be sure and remind everybody that you are listening to... Come on. I'm pushing the button. It's just not playing.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Alrighty, yep, that's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. It's 1915 UTC. And in just 14 minutes and a few seconds, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. It's a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on and on radio. That's right, every day, 1930 UTC. Whether or not you're at home in a different time zone, maybe, you're walking your dog. I don't know, whatever it might be. Maybe you're feeding some pigeons. At 1930 UTC, the Dubious Goals Committee begins and convenes. So definitely stick around for that coming up in just a few minutes. Oh my gosh, I need to dust. But that's another topic altogether. So thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out. And all that jazz. Shout out to Stug and Com. American Customs and Immigration is always nerve-inducing. The only country where I get asked when I was in the country 5 years ago and why and when I left that time. yeah, you're right. X1. Blaming the rich is too easy. Often it's too easy, you know. A transgender woman has been allowed to compete in a women's California surfing competition. A California surf competition has been told it must allow a transgender woman to compete, or it will be in violation of the state law. The California Coastal Commission said surf competitions could not discriminate based on gender. The contest organizers had announced that Sasha Jane Lowerson would not be allowed to compete. The decision divided opinion and received hundreds of responses. Lowerson had entered the women's division on Saturday's competition at Huntington Beach. She put herself forward because rules set by the International Surfing Association allow transgender women to compete if they meet the criteria around testosterone levels. I was really disappointed and surprised at being excluded, she told the BBC. You can't cherry-pick the rulebook. If you're going to use the rulebook, you have to use all of it. Todd Messick, whose American Longboard Association organizes the competition, had announced on April 25th the contest wouldn't allow transgender women to compete in the women's division, saying he wanted to, quote, offer an equal playing field for all athletes. He was told by the BBC he was, quote, surprised by the amount of anger that the decision generated, but added, what I found, too, is that there was a lot of people very appreciative for me speaking up. Of course, that's kind of the way that works when there's an oppressed minority is going to have a lot of oppressors. The quote here, for me, I was trying to do the right thing. It wasn't something I ever expected to have to deal with, really, not in our little longboard community, he said. He's an Australian who previously won men's events in... Oh, Lowerson, excuse me. An Australian who previously won men events in her home country said she had encountered mostly positive attitudes in the world of competitive surfing when she began living as a woman. Okay, since transitioning, she's contributed to the development of new guidelines adopted by Australia's national governing body allowing transgender women to compete in women's events. And there we go. yeah, freedom is a scary word sometimes out there. Layer above them. Oh, man, I wish I had citizenship somewhere else, but such is life. Miss Teen USA has resigned. This normally wouldn't be news to me. But Miss USA has also resigned, and it's like, what's going on here? Well, Uma Sofia Srivastava announced the news on Instagram, saying her personal values no longer fully align with the pageant organization. It follows an earlier announcement from Miss USA, Noelle Voigt, who cited mental health struggles as the reason for her departure. The Miss Teen USA organization said they supported her decision and a successor would be announced. Let's see. She said, she'll always look back on my time as Miss New Jersey Teen USA fondly, and that the experience of representing my state as a first-generation Mexican-Indian-American at the national level was fulfilling in itself. Uma Sofia then explained that her personal values no longer fully align with the direction of the organization. BBC Newsbeat has approached the Miss USA organization for further comment. Earlier this week, Miss USA Noelle Voigt announced saying... we already said that. Fans online noticed that the first letter of each sentence of Noelle's resignation statement spelled out, I am silenced, though the final three sentences spelled HIP. H-I-P. Miss USA thanked Noelle and said on Instagram, the well-being of her title holders is top priority. So, there are other people leaving the organization. Miss USA said that there were false accusations in previous posts, and they have an inclusive and supportive environment and take allegations seriously. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not sure if it'll be taken too seriously. Beauty pageants are on their way out, but we'll see what's going on in Calm. Publius keeps referring to him as Bojo Jojo, the magic monkey, which is a Powerpuff Girls reference. Bojo Jojo! Ratsu is aware of the Powerpuff Girls and impressed Publius and has knowledge of the plot. Yeah, Mojo Jojo is really the most tragic of the characters, I would say, in the Powerpuff Girls universe, being the rejected first child of the professor. Let's see. We got lots of news, so I'm going to flip over and go to the other side of things to make sure we talk about other stuff going on in the world. Estonian Parliament begins preparations for nuclear power program. Members of Estonia's parliament, the Riigikogu, have submitted the draft resolution which will allow preparations to begin for the adoption of nuclear energy in the country and the creation of a suitable legislative and regulatory framework. I also learned today while reading about this article that it's illegal to have nuclear powers outlawed in Australia, where a lot of uranium and other radioactive ore is available. So it's kind of a surprise. And also there's a lot of resistance to nuclear power. On Mastodon, I found someone that was talking about that. So I thought that was pretty cool. Australia, there was a video on Mastodon listed like 4 reasons why nuclear wasn't a big hit for them. And I thought it was pretty compelling. It's kind of like, yeah, if you already have 100% of your grid covered by solar and or like maybe the peak covered by something else renewable, why are you going to build more power plants than you need? I don't know. It seemed kind of silly that was a problem. Publius pointing out Australia is very, very weird in that way. Doubly so when they want to have nuclear-powered submarines. Indeed, they do want nuclear-powered submarines. One of the fun things with nuclear power is just... Anyway, it's a whole mess. It's a whole conversation. Meanwhile, utilities in Finland and Sweden have announced separate nuclear-related hydrogen initiatives. Fordham has announced plans for a hydrogen pilot plant near to its Loviisa nuclear power plant, while OKG, that's Oskar Kiil Golf, has signed a contract with Hyneon to supply surplus hydrogen from the operations at the Oskarshamn plant to its hydrogen filling stations. Uniper-owned OKG has used the electricity produced by the Oskarshamn nuclear power plant in Finland to produce hydrogen. Produce hydrogen through electrolysis since 1992. This hydrogen has initially produced to meet the nuclear power plant's own needs. It was added to the reactor's coolant of the plant's 3 boiling reactors in order to reduce the risk of stress corrosion cracking of the reactor piping. So, pretty neat. Let's see what we got going on here. Have you seen the two? Nuclear will kill the coal industry. Megawatt scale pilot plant. In a separate announcement, the Finnish utility Fortum said it would build a hydrogen production pilot plant in the Kala area near the company's Loviisa nuclear power plant. So we'll see how that all plays out. But hey, hydrogen. It'll be interesting to produce hydrogen as long as we don't use up all our seawater, I guess. What else? Iran is warning it will change its nuclear doctrine if, quote, existence threatened. Iran could be pushed into building a nuclear weapon if Israel threatens its existence, an advisor to the country's supreme leader has warned. We have no decision to build a nuclear bomb, but should Iran's existence be threatened, there will be no choice but to change our military doctrine, according to Kamal Khalarazi, an advisor to the supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, on Thursday. In the case of an attack on our nuclear facilities by the Zionist regime, our deterrence will change, he was reported as saying by Iran's student news network. Comments have raised questions about what Iran has long claimed is a peaceful nuclear program. It makes sense, right? Iran for years has been saying, we're just trying to build nuclear power plants, leave us alone. And they're like, well, what if we shoot you with nuclear bombs? Well, we'll make a nuclear bomb then. So, anyway, I just find this to be kind of non-news, but I wanted to be sure and mention it because I didn't want to not report the other side when I talk about the other guys so much. Ooh, we've got 6 minutes, 5 minutes and some change, and we can talk about some tech news. Jay LaMoth pointing out, never trust a government run by a, quote, supreme leader. And Iran so far away. That's pretty good. That's funny. Let's see. Hydrogen also is a coolant in gas, large electric generators. Indeed. Hydrogen's very cool in that it can soak up a lot of heat. Publius would enjoy a non-supreme leader. You know, I'm not a big fan of the supreme, the supreme tacos at Taco Bell. I'm not a big fan of sour cream, and that is like usually what they flood their food with whenever they're trying to make it supreme. Anyway, critical vulnerabilities in big IP appliances leave big networks open to intrusion. And big IP is all capital, B-I-G hyphen IP, Bravo India Golf hyphen India Papa appliances, leave big networks, meaning the size. Researchers on Wednesday reported critical vulnerabilities in a widely used networking appliance that leaves some of the world's largest networks open to intrusion. The vulnerabilities reside in Big IP Next Central Manager, a component in the latest generation of the Big IP line of appliances organizations use to manage traffic going in and out of networks. Seattle-based F5, which sells the product, says its gear is used in 48 of the top 50 corporations as tracked by Fortune. F5 describes the Next Central Manager as a, quote, single centralized point of control, or, you know, for me, a single centralized point of failure, for managing entire fleets of big IP appliances. As devices performing load balancing, DDoS mitigation, and inspection and encryption of data engineering and data entering and exiting large networks, big IP gear sits at the perimeter and acts as a major pipeline to some of the most security-critical resources housed inside. In 2021 and 2022, hackers actively compromised big IP appliances by exploiting vulnerabilities carrying severity ratings of 9.8 out of 10. On Wednesday, researchers from security firm Eclipsium reported finding what they said were 5 vulnerabilities in the latest version of Big IP. F5 has confirmed 2 of the vulnerabilities and released security updates that patch them. They said the 3 remaining vulnerabilities have gone unacknowledged, and it's unclear if the fixes are included in the latest release, whereas the exploited vulnerabilities from 2021 and 2022 affecting older versions, the new one resides in the latest version, known as Big IP Next. The severity of both vulnerabilities is rated as 7.5 out of 10. Diana Ross in a tortilla. Oh, calm is always fun. Shout out to Jay LaMoth. Notorious Big IP. Yep, the big yips. Oh, such good times. All right, what else can I talk to you about that's news today that's not going to take tons of time? Because wouldn't you know it? I'm hitting the wrong button. There it is. We've got 2 minutes and 20 seconds or so before the Dubious Goals Committee, our very fun every goddamn day show. Let me mention this. Slow is a movie that's coming out that is interesting to me. Asexuality is rare enough on screen that a film that does acknowledge its existence can build an entire storyline out of it. But the scant few depictions of it in popular media that do exist, mostly in progressive teen shows like Sex Education or Heartbreak High on Netflix, generally present storylines about the orientation, or depending on your view, lack thereof, in an instructive manner for general audiences. Their supporting asexual characters are typically young, confused teens, and their journeys to understand and accept their orientation are highlighted by arcs that fit them with love interests who struggle with the unconventional shape their relationship takes. Slow, the second feature film from Lithuanian director Mirjana Kavatradze, offers a somewhat different type of asexual character. Dovidzis certainly talks about his difficulties coming to terms with his asexuality as a child, but when the audience first meets him, he's decidedly not an awkward teenager. He's a grown man, working as a sign language interpreter who has long since accepted and opened up about his asexuality and pursues dating despite the complications his orientation arises. So, I think that this is pretty cool. I think asexuality is not talked about enough, so this is a pretty neat thing. It's called Slow. Some reviews have said the movie is slow, and you know, that's, I don't know, I'll have to watch it and give you a review. Apple is facing backlash online over an advert in which objects, including musical instruments and books, are crushed by a hydraulic press. The video is meant to demonstrate how their creativity has been compressed into the latest iPad, but celebrities, including Hugh Grant and Justine Bateman, have reacted with horror. Apple boss Tim Cook has been called tone-deaf for his post on X about the device, where he asked people to imagine all the things it'll be used to create. Pretty wild stuff. But please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. I'll be back tomorrow. Do-do-do-do-do, Dubious Goals time. Dubious Goals.